Today we're going to talk about two of probably the Old Testament's greatest prophets. Now, one we talked about last week, and it was Elijah. Remember that? Okay. And today we're going to talk about the man that took over after Elijah's death. And he sounds like he might be related to him. We're not talking about Elijah, but now we're going to talk about Elisha. Yeah. And so it's going to all fit together. Think about this, Elisha. Let's just think for a moment. He's been Elijah's assistant now for several years. Think about the role model that Elijah has been to Elisha. Think about all the things that Elisha has seen the mighty Elijah do. Think about all the miracles that he's watched him do. Think about all the times where he has taught people the Word of God. Think about all the time that they've had alone, either at night or as they walk from place to place, as Elijah poured his life into this young man, Elisha. And so, man, oh man, Elisha has been hoping for the day that he would be chosen to be Elijah's successor. All right? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Now think about it from Elijah's standpoint. What a man of God. I mean, what an amazing, mighty prophet. And we made this comment last week, and you'll have to wait about 6 months, 5 months for us to get there again. But I believe that you will see Elijah show up again as we get down toward the end of Revelation when we're studying there in December. Because I believe he's one of the two witnesses that comes back during the tribulation. We won't get into that today. But here's this mighty man of God. Now listen to me. He's admired. I mean, he's revered. People looked up to Elijah. I mean, this was a mighty, mighty, mighty man of God. If you want an example of a spiritual giant, Elijah was it. I mean, he is what you wanted to pattern your life after. And so, boy, today, if we wanted to, hang with me, if we wanted to, we could probably have picked out 3 or 4 character qualities in Elijah's life. And I could have, let's make 4 steps. Let me give you 4 steps to be a spiritual giant like Elijah. And that would be real easy to teach, wouldn't it? That Elisha may have learned. But, you know, I want to do something different with you today. And this is going to take a lot of effort on your part. Because today is not going to be one of those kind of lessons where you just sit there and listen. Right? I'm going to ask you some really deep questions. Not theologically deep, but deep because it's going to pierce all the way down into your very heart. And they're going to be hard questions. Not hard in the sense that you're not going to know the answer to them, but hard in the sense that you're going to have to be completely honest with yourself. God already knows your heart. But a lot of times, I don't think we take the time to know our own heart. You ever thought about that? And so as I ask you things, I'm not going to say everybody that thinks this way, raise your hand, stand up, do anything. I'm not going to do that. I'd never embarrass you that way. But I want you to be honest enough where when I ask that question, you would say, oh, Father, that sounds a lot like me. Or maybe it doesn't. Or when God moves on your heart to do something or to change something or to become something, that your answer would be, God, that's what I need in my life. Now, here's the thing. Most of our kids will be in the next service, but we've got a lot of students in here, even in this service. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you call yourself a believer this morning, you know, if I ask you, how many of you know without a shadow of a doubt you've given your life to Christ, you've surrendered your life to Him? If you were to die right now, you know that you would go to heaven. Raise your hand, and you would raise your hand. Then I want you to know, I'm talking to you this morning, big time, all right? And I want to ask you a much deeper question than just a 1, 2, 3, 4. So my outline today is really going to be three questions. And so here's how I want to begin. Let's look at question number one. Answer this in your heart. Do you even want to be a spiritual giant? Let's start with that. Because I think a lot of times I assume that if you're a believer, naturally, you want to be a spiritual giant. And that's not true. And I feel like so many times I'm trying to, listen. I'm trying to talk you into wanting something that you don't want, Right? What's the difference in just being a believer and being a spiritual giant? Or is there a difference? Well, here's a simple way of defining it. You know what? To just be a believer, it's possible that walking with Christ can just be a part of your life. But if you're going to be a spiritual giant, it's got to be your life. And there's a huge difference, right? Because, see, we get so caught up in life. I've got work, I've got family, I've got vacations and what we're doing for fun, I've got this and I've got that, and oh yeah, I've got church too, right? I've got my walk with God, and it's just one of a lot of parts of my life. It's not a priority, it's important, it's special, but it's not my whole life. And I wonder a lot of times, if that's not where maybe you are. Is it your life? I mean, does it drive your every thought? Do you even want to be a spiritual giant? And if you were honest, probably many, many, many of you would say, hello. Probably many of you would say, well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think I do. I just want to be a normal kid. Can I not just enjoy my middle school and high school years? My gosh, I'll worry about this Christianity thing after I'm old and get married. Maybe I'm a young couple and I've got young kids. Gosh, you know what? We're having families. We're getting started in our career. We're trying to settle down. You know, no, being a spiritual giant is not my life. I just want them to be a part of my life. And to most people, listen, to most people, as long as I'm good, I'm a good parent, or I'm a good kid, or I'm a good grandma or grandpa, or I'm a good grandson or granddaughter, as long as I'm good and I go to church, let's don't get all hyped up over this spiritual giant thing. Come on now. I just want to be a normal person. I just want to make sure that I go to heaven when I die. Right? And that I'm good and go to church when I can. But as far as this being my whole life, I'm not there. And that's not what I want. Do you even want to be a spiritual giant? Let me take that a step farther. Does it even matter to you whether you're a spiritual giant or not? Be honest now. Man, if you're thinking, man, he's getting personal today. Well, thank you. You're welcome. Do you even want to? Don't say what you think the preacher would want to hear. Don't say what you think God wants to hear. I'm asking you for your heart. Is that something you even want? Does it matter to you at all? Because listen, what good would it do for me to give you a step one, step two, step three to being a spiritual giant when there's nothing inside of you that wants that. There are no intentions in your heart of putting any of that into place. You're just here because you're in church. It's the thing to do. This is your habit. This is your routine. Isn't it sad that you've got a sticker on that says believer, but you're having to search for desire to be a spiritual giant? Does that make sense? It really doesn't, does it? But isn't that where we live? Yeah. Why is it? Why is it that we have to talk like this? Because you and I are so torn between the self, the flesh, the ego, of what I want to do, how I want to live, and what God wants of me. It's real quiet this morning. I hope that's because you're really thinking. I hope that's because you're allowing God to talk to your heart. But let's get into the scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 2. We want to look at Elijah and Elisha as they're together. Now, God has told Elijah that this is the day that God's going to take him to heaven, right? And Elijah probably doesn't know exactly what to expect. He probably doesn't know exactly how this is going to happen, but God has told him this. Now, here's the deal. God's also told Elisha that today is the day. Now, I don't think he's told him how either. And it gets even bigger as we go through these verses. There are a lot of other groups of people that God... It's almost like God's told everybody what's about to happen. Let's start in verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. All right, now, what you're going to notice here is that they're going on a trip. And you're going to see a test. Elijah's going to give Elisha three different tests to see how he responds and what his thoughts are. He's already told Elijah what's going to happen. I don't know if Elijah even knew what a whirlwind was. Or, you know, is Elijah thinking, God, is this kind of like the Wizard of Oz? You know, is it a tornado? Am I just going to spin around and around? How does this happen? Look at verse 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Hey, bud, you stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. All right? He's testing Elisha. And really, I think what he's doing, one writer or several writers said, I wonder if Elijah was maybe, he was trying to be very humble. And he didn't want anybody to see what God was about to do. Well, I guess that's a possibility. I'm not sure that I would say that's the main reason, but it might be there. A lot of writers said, could it be that Elijah was testing Elisha which I think that's more like it, because this test is going to happen 3 different times, and it's exactly the same test over and over. He's testing Elijah to see how he is going to respond. And Elisha says, I will not leave you. Let's talk customs. Customs back then, when you were in the presence of someone, of a man, a godly man who was about to pass away, it was customary for that person, that man, to give his blessings to the people that were there with him. And Elisha wanted to make sure he got part of those blessings. He wanted to make sure, man, I respect you, I love you, I have watched you, and I want to make sure that you bless me as well as you bless others. Verse 3, now the sons of the prophets, all right, this is going to show up 2 more times. Sons of the prophet was a group of Jewish young men that the prophets, the older prophets, would teach them God's word and would teach them how to teach other people God's word. It was almost like a Bible school, except they didn't have Bibles back then. But they were going to school to learn how to teach. Sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. You know, I wonder why Elisha didn't want them to talk about it. You know, could have been a lot of reasons. You know what I think it was, and this is just a guess on my part. I think even though there was so much that Elisha wanted to be a part of, I think his heart was really sad. This was his hero. This was the godliest man that he had ever known, and Elijah had poured his life into Elisha all this time. And he said, he's sad to lose him. Look at verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, hey, bud, listen. Would you stay here, please? For the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came on to Jericho. You need to find a map that will plot all these places for you. Because what he's asking Elisha to do, it's a long walk from all these places that he's going to go. Started out in Gilgal, went to Bethel. He's going now from Bethel all the way down to Jericho. And he's going to go from Jericho to the Jordan River. That is a long, long, long walk. And he's doing it in a day's time. And so I think he's really trying to see, hey, Elisha, you know, are you really going to pass this test? Look at verse 5. Here they are again. Now, a different group, a different school. This is the school there in Jericho. Now, the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And so Elisha answered, yes, I know. Will you keep quiet, please? You know, same words, same question, same everything. Verse 6, then Elisha said to him, hey, Elisha, would you stay here, please? For the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan River. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Elijah is asking the same question. Elijah is asking the same question. Elisha is giving him the same answer every time. Nothing's changing. I'm not leaving you. I'm sticking to you like glue. And 50 men, right? Guess what group? Sons of the prophets. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan River. And now Elijah took his mantle. How many of you are reading out of a translation that says cloak instead of mantle, right? Same thing, just different words. A cloak or a mantle was symbolic of that period of time as being God's spokesman. I mean, Elijah was the supreme prophet of this period of time. And so he carried this mantle that symbolically represented everything of that, all right? And so Elijah took this mantle, this cloak, rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that so that the two of them waded across in knee-deep water. Huh? What? So that the two of them walked over in muddy mush. No, the water divided and instantly they crossed over on what? It wasn't just enough that he divided the waters. The river, the mighty Jordan River, parted and the ground was dry. Who else had parted water before? Moses parted the Red Sea and they walked through, they walked across in mush, right? Dry ground. Who else? Joshua did, remember? Moses couldn't take him across the Jordan to the promised land, but Joshua did, and the waters parted in the Jordan, and the children of Israel all came across the Jordan River into the promised land on dry ground. And so now here's Elijah, who is doing the exact same thing, just like Moses and just like Joshua. Here's another question I want to ask you. All right, we started out with, is that even a desire in your heart and in your mind? Do you even want to be a spiritual giant? And some of you are probably still wrestling with that question in your heart and in your mind. And I want you to. I hope you wrestle with it all week long. I hope you wrestle with it until you can truthfully and totally honest answer God and say, God, yes, that is what I want more than anything. But here's my next question to you, and it's based on what this conversation that Elijah and Elisha had. Hey, Elisha, how bad do you want it? See, there's a lot of things that you and I want, but we just don't want them bad enough to pay the price, right? Man, I would really love to be like a bodybuilder. You're hurting my feelings that you're laughing. Right? I mean, because we've got a lot of gym rats in here. And, you know, they're out there lifting weights. And we got Johnny back here. Man, he buys his shirts in the pants department so they will fit over his biceps and everything like that, you know? And, man, I really wish that I had arms like Johnny. But I'm not willing to pay the price to have that. Let me ask you a question. I kind of do want to be a spiritual giant. I really do. But just not that much. I'm not going nuts with this walking with God thing. I just want to be good and I just want to come to church. I want to be a good parent. I want to be a good role model. But I'm not going overboard on this thing. I'm not willing to pay that kind of price. Where are you? One, does it even matter to you? And two, are you willing to pay the price to be a spiritual giant? That's a big deal. Because here's the thing. Most believers, are you with me? Are you listening? Raise your hand if you're listening. All right, the rest of you go back to sleep. Most believers are content to just stay right where they are. You didn't come here today for God to change your life. You came here today because you enjoy the music. Our music is second to none. You came here today because you've made so many friends and, man, I just love to be around my... Most of you didn't come for God to change your life. I want to hear a little bit about the Bible, but I'm not willing to pay the price to be a spiritual giant. We talked about the kids saying, I'll wait until later. Listen, let's talk about some of the older folks in here, some of the empty nesters, some of the senior citizens, some of the 1 foot in the grave category, okay, wherever you fit in that. You know what? A lot of times those people say, it's too late. I'm beyond that. I'm past that. What a lie. It is not too late to start. And my challenge to you today is, do you even want it? Challenge number two, how bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to ask God to change your life? Do you want it bad enough that I'll do whatever it takes to be that spiritual leader, that spiritual role model, that spiritual giant in my family, in my work, in my school, in my neighborhood, wherever I am? Not just the neighborhood nice guy, but the spiritual giant. Let's pick up where we left off, verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be on me. We got to go back to tradition now. Tradition said back then, customs said back then, that the firstborn got twice as much inheritance as the other sons, right? And so what Elisha was asking of Elijah was not to be, man, I want to be twice as good as you. I want to do bigger miracles than you. I want to be twice as popular as you. No, he wasn't asking him that at all. He says, I want to be your spiritual heir. I want to inherit like a firstborn son of yours. Keep following along. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And so he said, you have asked a very hard thing. This is Elijah talking. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And then it happened. That quick. And then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Tell me what that was like. I have no clue. I don't know. You let your imagination run with you like I can let mine run with me. I don't know what that was like. I would have loved to have seen it, but I can't explain it or tell you about it. And Elisha did what? Elisha what? He saw it. He saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And so he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah, the cloak, that symbol of God's anointing, that symbol of God's authority as a mighty prophet of God. Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan, and he took the mantle, the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. God granted Elisha's request. I want to be your successor as a spiritual giant. I want to be the one to take over your ministry. I want to be used of God more than God has even used you. Boy, that's huge. Let me ask you a searching question. Do you ever even think about that? Is that a thought that goes through your mind day by day by day by day? Do you pray for God to use you? Or do you just pray, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the sunshine. Help us to have a good day. Or do you say, oh God, I want to be a spiritual giant today. God, wherever I go today, I want people to see Christ living in me. I don't want to talk about going to church. I want them to see you living in my life. I want you to use me. Most believers never think that way. Then it seemed like there's something wrong with that. That we've lost sight of the very purpose that God saved us. God saved us so that we could know Him in a real personal way. We could know Him as a heavenly Father and we could be His child. We could know Him because He's forgiven our sins. And now we have the ability to worship Him. And God saved us so that we could worship Him and so that we could become like Him. But He saved us so that He could use us. But doesn't there seem like there's something wrong in my life or in your life when being used by God's not even a desire that I have? Ain't there something wrong with that? But yet we don't ever think about it. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody this morning. Man, I'm just trying to get us all to just think deeper and make it personal. How much do you want to be a spiritual giant? Is that something that even matters to you? Are you willing to pay the price to be one? Let me give you a third question to ask. Third question is this. What, in your mind, what do you think it is that's keeping you from being a spiritual giant? Because you've got to figure that out. Because until you figure that out and until you ask God, God, this needs to change, you'll never be a spiritual giant. You'll just be content to stay just like you are. And I'm here to tell you that's not going to please God. God did not save you for your spiritual life on a graph to look like a pancake. God saved you so that you would grow and grow and grow and grow and be used by Him in a mighty way. But what is it? What is it in your life? Maybe we should say, maybe it's not a what, maybe it's a, maybe it's a who. Is it possible that there is somebody? Or is it possible that there is something in your heart and in your life that keeps you, that's a lid, a spiritual lid, so that, man, I'm just so bogged down, I'm so weighted down, I'm too spread out, I'm doing too much, I'm trying to be all I can be for my family and my kids and my work and my this and my that, and my, there's just not enough left over of me to be a spiritual giant. You know what? Something needs to go. Something needs to go because being a spiritual giant, listen to me, is not something that just happens. It takes work. Consistent, hard work. Are you willing to pay the price to get there? I use that bodybuilding example with Johnny. we used to have a Bowflex. Remember seeing those on TV? You know, the little machines with the, you know, when you sit there and the little bow comes down like that. I hated it. And I never did it. But it looked really good in our playroom. And about once a year, I would get the instruction book out and read it. And then I'd put it back in the drawer. Then I'd go get a piece of pie. Right? I wanted it, but I just didn't want it bad enough to do what it took to get there. How bad do you want it? Does it even matter to you? What is it that's standing in your way? Who is it that's standing in your way? Well, you know, if I really got serious about being a spiritual giant, man, I'd have to give up this. Okay, that's a good start. What else? Well, then I'd have to change my routine and do this. Great! And what else? What's it going to take to change your life? I can't answer that for you. I can answer for me. But I'm challenging you. What's it going to take in your life for you to be a spiritual giant? Do we want to be a church full of just good people? Or do we want to be a church full of spiritual giants whose heart pounds every day for God to change us and use us to be a lighthouse in a community that's growing darker and darker and darker? I can't answer that for you. You tell me. You can't be a spiritual giant. Let's just do the obvious. How can you be a spiritual giant? There's some people in here that aren't even believers. Right? I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying your first step has to be to become a believer. Not just knowing about Christ, but knowing Him personally. He left heaven and came to earth to meet your deepest need, which was forgiveness. Because there's no way that you can be forgiven apart from somebody dying for you that was sinless and holy. Somebody's death had to take your place, because the wages of sin, help me, is, always has been, always will be. Somebody's got to die for you. Can I die for you? No. I'm a sinner. It took somebody who is holy, who is righteous, who is sinless to die for all of us, to take our place, to make forgiveness available to us, right? And that's why Jesus stepped off the throne of heaven and came to this earth, put on a human body. The spiritual being became a human being. And He was all God at the same time that He was all man, all at the same time. He was the God-man. He was all God as if He had never been human. But at the same time, He was all human as if He had never been Almighty God. He was the God-man all at once. And He came to this earth and He taught us what God was like, taught us who God was, His character, His nature. He came as our substitute, and He allowed the Romans to convict Him and to crucify Him, to execute Him as a criminal on false charges. And He went to that cross and He shed His blood, and He died, was buried 3 days later. He said, on the third day, I'm going to what? I'm going to resurrect. I'll rise again. And 3 days later, He did exactly what He said He would do. And He came back to life to prove He's exactly who He said He was, Almighty God. And He said, if you will, hey, Flint River Church, if you will give me your life, if you'll surrender your life to me, I will give you my forgiveness. I'll make you my child. I'll come to live inside of your heart, and we'll be family together. And I'm going to give you a new heart and a new life. And I've got plans for you that you can't even dream of. Have you made that kind of surrender? I didn't ask if you joined a church, but I ask you, have you surrendered your life? There's a lot of difference. There's a lot of difference. You can't be a spiritual giant if you're never a believer. But even if you're a believer, where do you start? Well, it starts with right here. Starts with having that desire. If you don't have a desire to be a giant, guess what? You'll stay just like you are. You'll be just as content as you can be to walk out of here week after week after week, and God, without God ever changing your life. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? Right? Do you want it bad enough that you would crave it and ask God to make you a spiritual giant? Do you desire it bad enough that you would get alone with God every day and learn more about Him, learn what He wants to do in your life, how He wants to use you? Do you need that bad enough? Or is it like me in the Bowflex? Yeah, I'd like to be a spiritual giant, but I'm not that bad. Okay, then don't worry about it, because you never will be. And there's just something wrong with somebody that wears a name tag of being a believer that doesn't have a desire to be all that God wants them to be. How bad do you want it? That's pretty tough, isn't it? Elisha was a mighty, mighty, mighty man of God. God answered his prayer, and God used him in some phenomenal ways. But you'll have to come back next week to find out how. Father, we love you today. And Father, my prayer for these people in this room this morning is that they would so inspect their hearts, their minds, their desires, their motives, their goals, their values. Father, that they would, do they even want to be a spiritual giant? I pray that you would break their hearts. God, I pray that you would put such a burden on the people that have just been a spectator for so long, just so content just to be a believer and that's it. God, would you draw them to that point of deeper surrender where that's all that they can think about? God, I want to be a spiritual giant. Father, there's a lot of people in this room today who've never surrendered their life to you. Father, this may be the first time they've ever walked in a church in years. And at the same time, there's others that may have been coming for a long time and just thought that's all there was to it. Aren't I a believer because I've been coming to church? God, would you draw them to you this morning? And I'm praying that right now that there is such a desire in their heart, they want you to be their Lord, their Savior. And they're asking you, God, would you save me right now? Would you change my heart and change my life? Would you make me your child? Father, I pray that you're speaking to every heart in here right now. And God, I pray that our response to whatever you ask us to be or to do is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.